Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or accurately, good afternoon. It is 5:30 Eastern Time. It is Wednesday, November 25th, 2020. That means one thing. I am Hank Jones. This is Hank Jones Poly Sports. You are here on Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Global Patriot Radio, 7 days, 7 shows, 8 hosts. Great stuff. Call into the show. It's a great way to interact. 319-527-6706. Email me. hjpsports1980@gmail.com. Facebook, although I don't do a lot of stuff on there, I am there. Twitter, at H Polysports. Facebook, it's just Hank Jones Polysports. But Twitter, yes, at H Polysports. I'm getting more active with that, following some good stuff and interacting with some clever folks. Other GPR shows, every Monday, Vito Al, the Vito Esposito Show, featuring Big Al, Mamma Mia No Sharia, bringing you the latest on Islamic attempts at incursion into normal democratic systems with Sharia law. Tuesdays, Eric the Kafir with Radio Free Kafiristan, basically comparing and contrasting other religions with Islam, mainly Christianity, and debunking a lot of the myths of Islam as a peaceful religion, et cetera, et cetera. Wednesdays, of course, it's me, Hank Jones. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Paul takes you all around the globe, gets you in on what's happening politically, not just in the Islamic world, but just politically all around the world. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Islam in Focus and Conservative Casual Friday. That's Friday afternoons. Saturday nights, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie with Revealing the Truth About Islam. That's a late one, but it does two things. One, it keeps your attention and keeps you on your toes, but also and gets you out of having to watch Pac-10 foot or Pac-12 football on a Saturday night because it's a late night. That'd be late games for them. Sunday, Eric's back with Real Interfaith Dialogue. That one, you got to download the app. You can't just go in and fire away willy-nilly. That's what happens on Global Patriot Radio every day. 7 shows over 7 days with 8 hosts. Okay, let's get some late breaking news. Sort of the presidential election the other day, former Ohio Governor John Kasich, who, by the way, ran unsuccessfully against President Trump in 2016, he's railing against the GOP for refusing to defend the integrity of the election against President Trump's fraudulent claims. Former Governor Kasich, there's a reason for that. It's called suspicion of fraud. Frankly, we should probably be investigating this guy's potential role in all of it. Seriously. I mean, he's saying that weak Republicans are too scared of Trump, and so they won't stand up to him or all these fraudulent claims. Really? Dude, there's a bunch of documented stuff right now. Along that line, the owner of the computer repair shop who discovered the info on the Hunter Biden laptop, he's evidently closed his Wilmington, Delaware shop and left town. Naturally, the mainstream media, okay, Yahoo, Yahoo News, they're still claiming conspiracy. They gave their usual tell, though, yeah. They noted that certain people in the FBI were investigating whether or not the emails were part of a Russian disinformation campaign. Yeah, shouldn't these, quote, FBI people have been investigating the material contained in the emails themselves? And the material on the laptop, why were they assuming it was a hoax? They wanted it, maybe, but unbelievable. One recent death of note, former Miami Dolphins and Washington Redskins free safety Jake Scott passed away last Thursday at age 75. Apparently he'd had suffered a fall, left him in a coma, and he just never recovered. His former Dolphins teammate, strong safety, Dick Anderson, said Scott was the one guy he would want next to him in a foxhole. Said Scott covered him for him all over the field all the time. Nine seasons in the NFL. He played at least 12 games each season. And don't forget, that was back when there were just 14 games. He had 49 interceptions. He had two interceptions in the Dolphins' first Super Bowl win. That was the perfect season, 1972, the no-name defense. And he recovered two fumbles the next year over the, I believe it was the Vikings. Yeah, the Redskins and then the Vikings. And he ironically ended up playing for the Redskins, retiring from them. Politics news. President Trump is telling supporters to stand tall and not be intimidated by the left. This is really in response to two things, really. Wayne County, Michigan, Republican election board members that refused to certify, to vote to certify the election. They were receiving death threats and other threats, not just to themselves, but to their families for refusing to vote to certify it. Yeah, that's mature. And then threats to the GSA had not turned over certain things to the Biden transition team, saying that the election hasn't been certified. So, of course, the administrator of the GSA, she was receiving threats, and her family was receiving threats and harassment, phone calls, people hanging around their house. Unbelievable. Basically, the president's saying, don't back down to their bullying. Stand up to these people. Don't let them intimidate you. These are thugs. He's absolutely right. I mean, you're right. It's your right to support someone. But, you know, we keep hearing about the peaceful progressives. They're not very peaceful. We've seen that with the riots and the looting and the quote-unquote protests. And now this. He was calling in at a Senate Republican hearing in Pennsylvania. And he basically said, look, all this stuff, don't back down. Don't let these people push you around. Don't let them intimidate you. He also said, if you were a Republican poll worker, you were treated like a dog. Yeah, he was. The officials that were said they were basically shoved around and pushed around in both Philly and Detroit. Poll washers were actually escorted out. He said, don't let it happen. Don't let them do this to you. One lawyer, Linda Kearns, was placed under protection because she was threatened with harm. Employee of another law firm representing Secretary of State Kathy Buchvar threatened her over the phone. Unbelievable. I mean, what is with these people? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about it later because there is something to this. Tell you what to do, though, as we're settling in here, get yourself a cocktail. I'm not doing that. I can't. I'm on the job, so to speak. Get yourself a cocktail, though. Don't go with the usual iced coffee or soda or water. Get yourself a cocktail. Settle in. This is going to be fun. I'm going to talk about this. And frankly, get yourself a tinfoil hat. I'm not wearing one, but I could be. I talked about this with Vito. Vito doesn't even think I need one, but what the heck? Throw one on anyway. Also today, a Pennsylvania judge has blocked the state's certification of their election results. Here's a real twist of irony. The state certifiers, they cited the need for quick resolution. Yes, quick resolution. The judge, and this is deceptively simple, the judge pointed out that in 2016, the results weren't certified till December 12th. Again, part of a pattern, folks. Part of a pattern, and I will talk about it. Sidney Powell, who is pointed out is not officially part of Trump's legal team. She is, however, filing a suit in Georgia over several different fraudulent issues and in several precincts. So look forward to seeing what happens there. The Dow hit 30,000. Here's a shocking thing. Joe Biden hasn't even taken credit for it yet. He will, but he hasn't yet. A group in Wisconsin has filed an emergency petition after identifying nearly 150,000 fraudulent ballots. And they wonder why. I mean, if you've probably had friends on social media that have told you you're crazy. And, you know, I mentioned one to one that, you know, Al Gore had 37 days. They said, well, this is different. I said, what's different? Well, that was, you know, the results were really close. I said, well, how close? I mean, does it matter how close? And then they said, well, he's alleging fraud. There's no fraud. How do you know there's no fraud? Again, it's a push here, and there's a reason for it. In Wisconsin, the Thomas More Society has an Amistad project. They said they found tens of thousands of ballots that may be fraudulent. They've identified potentially over 150,000, more than enough to call into the question the validity of the state's reported results. They include 144,000 fraudulent votes and over 12,000 legal votes not counted. They say these discrepancies were a direct result of Wisconsin election officials' willful violation of state law. Now, according to unofficial results, Joe Biden beat President Trump by about 20,000. Remember, that was the one where President Trump was 108,000 votes ahead with 188,000 to be counted. He needed 79%. Looks like he got 100. Group said they found more than 10,000 Republican ballots that weren't counted. More than 10,000 GOP voters had requested ballots, and then they were filled, and they never received them, and they were filled in by someone else. And around 100,000 illegal ballots that were counted anyway. It's a 45-page filing asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to block the certification. Wisconsin Election Commission said it didn't have any comment on the matter, naturally. Telling you folks, there really is something to this. You know, at first I thought, well, you know, but that's the media playing with you. You know, the media said yesterday, Pennsylvania certified, it's over. Nope. Judge blocked that today. They're filing in Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Nevada, Georgia, and Arizona. This is the Amistad Project from the Thomas More Society. Two Wisconsin counties are right now in a recount. Deadline for that is December 1st. With the More Society, it's based on in Chicago. National public interest law firm. They provide free legal services to clients all over the United States in defense of life, family, and religious liberty. This would be interesting to follow. We'll see. I mean, you know, with the Thanksgiving holiday, a lot of stuff can happen. And again, we're going to talk about a little of that stuff. It appears thousands of Georgia voter registrations came from commercial addresses. Oh, my God. Welcome T. Bodie to the chat room, by the way. Welcome Hawkeye Mike on the phone. I know they're both in there. Welcome, guys. I know Mike and I were both watching the basketball game earlier, the Hawkeyes opening their season today. Pretty good stuff. They were looking pretty good after a while. It was close a little bit for a little bit, and then the Hawks started to kind of run away with it. Mike says, aluminum foil hat makes great hat, and it blocks out the aluminum from the government's mind control race. Exactly. Exactly. Anyway, thousands of Georgia voter registrations came from commercial addresses. These are like UPS or FedEx boxes, right? Not even post office, but like those UPS or FedEx mail centers. And they listed them rather than as box number, they listed them as apartment numbers to make them appear residential. Yeah, well, that's not unintentional, folks. That's not accidental. That's intentional when you do that. Matt Brainerd, he's the former data and strategy director for President Trump's 2016 campaign, said similar registrations have been found in Pennsylvania. Duh. Yeah, I mean, how do they get away with this? And this is anecdotal, I realize. This doesn't prove fraud per se, but I have a couple great nephews I mentioned this last week in Pennsylvania. One's 14, one's 8. The 8-year-old definitely got ballot mailed to him. These sexist people in Pennsylvania didn't mail one to my great niece, by the way. Because they're sexist and racist and whatnot, but even though they accuse us of that, that's what they actually are. So, yeah. Oh, by the way, you know what? Almost all there's been a couple of lawsuits filed in response to the president's campaign. You know what? They're all claiming racism and disenfranchisement. That's another tell, folks. And I'll tell you why that's a tell. What they're saying, what they don't realize they're saying it's in those areas where they probably committed the fraud. are saying he's trying to disenfranchise them. Why would it be specifically them? He's just they're just calling out fraud. When you say it's that like that in that term, it pretty much tells us. They don't even realize when they do it, but it pretty much tells us where they targeted. Oh, CCP, it's part of Red China's propaganda outlet. Turns out they spent millions in these in magazines and newspapers around the country in the past 6 months. Here's where the largest spending went to. Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times, not a shock, Seattle Times, not a shock, and Foreign Policy, like a, this is a magazine, more of a newspaper format magazine. Oddly enough, here's the New York Times and the Washington Post actually stopped running the materials. That's kind of a shock, but yeah. So Red China is running stuff even now in our in advertising and these circulars that it's like the propaganda where they used to show. You remember in like when you're in high school or middle school, high school, you'd see those movies they'd show you about China, and they called it Red China because that's what it is. It's Red China. But they'd show like children learn songs like socialism is good and, you know, kowtow to Chairman Mao. And I mean, they're still running that kind of stuff. And the sad part is that there are enough stupid people in this country that, that look at it and don't even see it as propaganda. Jeez. I have a lot of faith in this country these days. President Trump fired Chris Krebs. He's the head of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. Yeah, he fired him because Krebs is actively trying to debunk claims of election fraud. So good riddance, jackass. Listen to this. The ad agency not only actively disputed fraud claims, but actually set up a rumor control section on its website. Now, allegedly, the president fired Krebs on Twitter. So what did Twitter do? Yeah, they placed a tag and a label on it. Jeez, way to go, Twitter. Anybody see that Jack Dorsey guy? Is he creepy or what? I can't decide if he's like the Unabomber's brother or Charles Manson's cousin. He is creepy. Holy, they showed him in these hearings when he's, you know, in front of Congress or in front of the Senate. He's frightening. I'm sorry. I know he's, I know that's mean. I'm, you're not supposed to comment on how someone looks. He looks like a creepy bastard. I'm sorry. Oh, here's a good one. Seems California paid out fraudulent unemployment claims of over $1 billion across 35,000 claims between March and August. Yeah. You know who? Not to just regular fraud. No, to prisoners. Prisoners are pulling the stuff. Yeah, our voting machines can't be hacked and our fraudulent ballots can't possibly be fraudulent. But, yeah, over $1 billion in fraudulent unemployment claims by 35,000 claims by prisoners. And we're supposed to say that the election system isn't fraudulent, isn't hackable, that there's no cheating going on. How the hell does this happen? I'll tell you one thing. It goes to show this. Moving everything online and virtual, it is ripe for fraud and scamming, obviously. I mean, seriously, how the hell does something like this happen? Who's running these websites? I mean, is it like the Homer Simpson thing where he's working at a nuclear power plant and he's got a brick tied to, you know, when Homer's gone, they're like, we really missed you down at the plant, Homer, and they have a brick tied to his switch. I mean, that's, I have a feeling that's what it's like. In the movie, This is Spinal Tap, the manager, when he says why they hadn't released the album yet, he says, well, they're just experimenting with new packaging materials. And one guy says, what, do they got monkeys opening the stuff or what? That's what you wonder. How does $1 billion in fraudulent unemployment, and this is during a time when, yeah, a lot of stuff's getting filed, but you would think they would be Johnny on the spot for this stuff, wouldn't you? Now, here's a sign that some folks might just be getting tired of all the government inspection types and COVID types and health inspectors. Several business owners in Buffalo told a COVID health inspector to leave, basically. And they kept saying, well, you know, we have to be here. And he said, go get a warrant. And the inspectors said they were responding to an anonymous complaint about abuse of safety protocols. They said, who filed it? They said, we don't know. I said, well, then go get a warrant. Now, naturally, here's what the inspectors did. You think they would leave with dignity or whatever? No. They played victim. One started whining, "I'm not here to be mean." Another one, "We don't make the laws." One good quip to that was, "Yeah, you may not make the laws. You also don't know the laws. Like I said, go get a warrant." Yeah, these, you know what? If you're a business owner or you somebody shows up at your, especially this Thanksgiving stuff, if somebody shows up at your house, slam the door in their face. And then fire hose all your red neighbors who probably turned you in. Meanwhile, Scotland is now the first country to mandate making menstrual products free nationwide. There are so many ways one could respond to this. I'm going to take the very safest path. Here's my response. Noted. Yeah. I don't know how they come up with this stuff. I mean, I get it. You know, there's, you know, kids in school or whatever. They're, you know, and it's happening earlier now. But, you know, why do they make, they made a big deal of it. How they, you know, it's free. Yeah, let's get to some sports news. College basketball, a parents' association has formed to advocate for players. Men's and women's basketball players have formed a new organization that aims to build a national network that empowers parents across the country and educate about the culture and climate of the sport while standing for the college basketball. I said, my own game, okay. There's a fun person. So, anyway, it's our Gonzaga's Jalen Suggs, Duke's Jalen Johnson, Arkansas's Moses Moody. They're all projected to be first round picks, by the way. They are involved. Oklahoma's Devion Harmon, Duke's Jeremy Roach. A couple of women's parents, too. Quay Morrison and Mia Curtis. One's from Georgia, Quay Morrison, and Mia Curtis, a freshman at Dartmouth. So, yeah, they're basically, I get it. They're trying to keep parents educated and stuff. And Felicia Goodson talked about that with the Minority Athlete Coalition in that, you know, parents oftentimes get left behind or don't get told the whole story. So it's a good thing. It's a reaction maybe, but it is, you know, parents need to stick together. I mean, you're seeing it with Iowa parents on Twitter that it is real friendship or bond. So that's the way they make it sound is like, oh, they're forming a union. No, it's not. It's not that at all. But I know what some people think, and they're thinking, you know, another group. No, not. It's not. They're just trying to advocate for their kids, and that's not a bad thing. Dick Vitale, Dickie V, Dookie V, came out with his 2021 college players to watch and all that stuff. He's got Luka Garza from Iowa as the player of the year. Mike, you have a final on, is that game over yet? I assume it is. Hawkeyes were actually close for a while, then they just all of a sudden you looked and it was, they were up 20 points. It just seemed to happen all out of the blue. Anyway, he's got Luka Garza as player of the year. His all Marco Polo, whatever that means. So that's most talented transfer. Landers Nolly, the second of Memphis from Virginia Tech. The diaper dandy is Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. All scorer is Antoine Davis from Detroit Mercy. By the way, that's where Dookie V coached, Detroit Mercy, when it was, I think, the University of Detroit or Detroit University. All passport Franz Wagner from Michigan. All Velcro defender, Marcus Garrett of Kansas. By the way, for Hawkeye fans or anybody just, you know, expecting me to give you some insight, Hawkeyes look good, but the defensive side of things, that's where I think there's going to be some issues. Like you said, 95-67 Hawks with a minute to play. Scrubs are in. Thank goodness. I was starting to get worried. Luka Garza had a little stumble after one of his baskets. All Thomas Edison, that's the best creator. Colby Ross from Pepperdine. Oh, Marcus Garrett from Kansas is the all Velcro. All human eraser. Sure what that is. Kevin Samuel of TCU. James Butler of Drexel is the all glass eater rebounder. All dipsy-doo dunkaroo, Keyshawn Bryant. of South Carolina. All clutch, Ayo Dosunmu of Illinois. I had to do his clutch, no doubt. All Florence Nightingale, no idea. Oh, I know. He's a guy that's been multi-year injury. Joshua Lankford of Michigan State. And the all big man on campus, Chris Likes from Miami, Florida. Garza is first team along with Dosunmu. Jared Butler from Baylor. Remy Martin from Arizona State. And Olivier Saar from Kentucky. Not a lot of big. Okay, Trey Jackson Davis is on the third team. Kofi Coburn's on the third team. So, yeah, Big Ten's pretty well represented. Here's his thing, though. He's got the Badgers from Wisconsin as the fifth best team. He's got Michigan State seventh. He's got Iowa down at 12th. Okay, if this in, Mike just sent me the final 97-67, Hawks by 30. Good start to the season. I mean, you should win those games by 30, but what it does is it gets guys out on the floor to get their feet wet. You know, the Murray twins and Tony Perkins and Josh Ogundele. There's another one in there I'm missing. I know, but whatever. Aaron Ulis. So, yeah, he's got the Illini 16th. At one point, Iowa had Big Ten had, six or seven teams in there. Half our conference is in the preseason top 25. Friday, the Hawks go again against Southern University. Should be another, cakewalk, but nonetheless, you need these games. You know, it's what the football team didn't have. Not saying it would have been good. Look at Iowa State, who's having a decent season, but man, their preseason game against Louisiana did not go well. And Louisiana's having a good year, so. But yeah, so basketball's back. Basketball is back in college. NBA's not back, and I don't care. Still, it's day whatever of me not caring about the NBA right now. I think the reason why it's the LeBron stuff, but it's the social justice warrior stuff, and it's the duplicity with LeBron. You know, his saying Daryl Morey, who finally left the Rockets, saying Daryl Morey wasn't qualified to comment on the Hong Kong protesters. And yet LeBron doesn't mention that he, has a ton of money invested, a ton of money in ventures in Red China. So anyway, December 19th is the big one. Hawks going to play Gonzaga. That's in Sioux Falls, I think, South Dakota. Might be at Sioux City, but it's a quasi neutral environment. Interesting Q&A on with Luka Garza on ESPN.com. Last year, first of all, he averaged 23.9 points, 9.8 rebounds, 1.8 blocks, shot 36% from three. Hawks haven't won a Big Ten title since 1979 and have not been the final in 80. So thank you, Renee, with him. He talked about, the different expectations, why he's back. You know, there's stuff that's unfinished. Now he talks about players emulates Anthony Davis, Nikola Jokic. Frank Kaminsky. Talks about Frank Kaminsky's senior year at Wisconsin. And basically saying, his job is to improve. It's a team thing. He doesn't really care about and I saw that. And I think in the chat, I think one thing for fans to, especially talk, it's not that McKay doesn't say talent is. I think some of the rotations and his player combo, hurt on the defensive end of the court. Sometimes he puts out, he puts in combinations of guys on the offensive end that you think, well, but it really shows up on the defensive end. And that's where I think, and I'm not saying it's like anything else. You got to see where your rotation works. So, going to be a fun year to watch. You know, we're probably going to, we've already had COVID cancellations in the basketball. We're having a ton more in football again this weekend. So Clemson and Florida, speaking of that, Clemson and Florida State are duking it out over that. Dabo Swinney basically said they didn't want to play. You know, we flew all the way there. We could test everybody, but they didn't want to play. They didn't cancel till the morning of. Now, Florida State coach Mike Norvell said, you know, look, we didn't. I didn't call it. The medical types do. Players were tweeting. Clemson players and Florida State back and forth. Clemson playing. We were here and ready. And Florida State guys saying we were too. I got news for Florida State guys. Even if Lawrence didn't suit up, you guys were going to get crushed. Your team's not good. Florida State, you know, everybody's talking about different programs that have fallen. Florida State probably has been the one that has absolutely imploded. I can't believe that it was all about a bad hire with Willie Taggart. Now, people said Willie Taggart lost the team. He may have, but I can't believe that he was doing that bad recruiting-wise. There has to be more to it. I mean, you know, they won the title in 2013. They lost in the semifinals in 2014. And from there, they pretty much went down the tubes. Can't believe it's just a bad hire, though. But, I mean, even Jimbo got out while he could, so to speak, while he got a ton of money from Texas A&M. But, yeah, so they're duking it out over their cancellation. You know, ACC requires testing 3 times a week, 24 hours within kickoff. And so he said that's probably what led to the problem, because a player who they say, this is what's confusing. You're seeing both sides. You're seeing that the player that traveled with the team was asymptomatic. You're also seeing that they tested him because he was showing symptoms. Who knows? Who cares? I think the thing we're not hearing is how dangerous this has not been to younger people. Now, have younger people died as a result of the disease? Yes. Have younger people had issues? Yes. But by and large, look, 21-day protocol that Big Ten was trying, that's just absurd. 7 days is probably too short, but 21 days is absurd. Now, in the case of Nick Saban had that quote-unquote false positive, now he's tested positive again, and he is not going to be on the sideline for the Alabama-Auburn game this weekend, the Iron Bowl. So, you know, there could be something to it. Did he really have it before or not? Who knows? By the way, Wisconsin-Minnesota is canceled this weekend. Now, this isn't just about Wisconsin potentially being ineligible for the Big Ten championship game. Now, look, right now they're in a sense 2 games down to Northwestern because they're a game behind in the loss column, 3 games behind win column, but they're also it's a head-to-head matchup, so they basically need Northwestern to lose twice. Now, Northwestern does Minnesota next week. Northwestern has to play. Who they still have? They still have to play Illinois. I forget who their other crossover was, but it's not a, you know, they should be able to skate. But this game, the Northwest or the Wisconsin-Minnesota game, this had been continuous since 1907. It was the longest uninterrupted series in FBS history. 113 consecutive years. From 1907 to last year. Now, Wisconsin's down to 5 regular season games, and at this point, it would not be eligible to play. Now, here's what they do, though. He must play 6 games. Now, if the average number of Big Ten games falls below 6, in other words, if there are enough cancellations, then teams must play no less than 2 fewer games than the average. Well, that's not going to – although Maryland did have 2 cancellations as well. So the champion would be determined by winning percentage. Well, right now, it's pretty much Northwestern in the West. Yeah, Minnesota had 20 players sit out combination of injuries and COVID issues for its game last week against Purdue that they won. Now, that was a controversial pass interference call, but I liked it anyway. But, yeah, they had 20 guys out. So they have 9 student athletes and 6 staff members that tested positive in the past 5 days. Additional presumptive positive tests on Tuesday and yesterday. So, yeah, probably a good idea. And Paul Chryst, Wisconsin's coach, handled it with class. He said, first of all, let's be thinking, you know, let's hope that Minnesota, that their people are going to be okay. You know, rather than, oh, he didn't moan and whine. He said, let's hope the Minnesota people are okay. Good for him. Good for him. But, whew, I mean, we really need the Hawkeyes to play all 8 games just because, hopefully 9 plus the one on championship day. Initial rankings are out. Anyone want to hear about them? The initial rankings are out. Alabama's number 1. Notre Dame is number 2. Not a shock. Clemson's number 3. Ohio State number 4. Texas A&M 5. Florida 6. Cincinnati 7. Northwestern 8. Georgia with 2 losses at 9. Miami at 10. Oklahoma with 2 losses at 11. Iowa State with 2 losses at 13. Now, you have to understand something about Iowa and Iowa State. Iowa State fans are like, I guess like most places, they're like Oklahoma State fans, Florida State fans, where they hate the quote unquote, the older, more prestigious or whatever. They hate Iowa always, no matter what. When we're not playing Iowa State, most Hawkeye fans support them. I certainly do. But it's not so much that they're 13th with 2 losses. It's that they're 2 spots behind Oklahoma, who they beat. They beat Oklahoma. So, you know, go figure. So why, you know, Texas has got 2 losses. Here's an interesting thing. Wisconsin 2-1 is 16. Iowa at 3-2 is 24. Now, the head of the committee is, the chairman of the committee is Gary Barta, who happens to be the athletic director at the University of Iowa. So, but they're not supposed to be voting on themselves anyway. 2 undefeated Pac-12 teams, Washington and Colorado, are both 2-0. They're unranked. They met in person. The committee met in person at the Gaylord Hotel in Grapevine, Texas, which is right outside of Dallas. Playoff is on track to go off as scheduled, with the semifinals on January 1st in the Rose and Sugar Bowls, and the championship game in Miami at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens on January 11th. So, yeah, some interesting BYU undefeated, but they're 14th. Now, they've sort of intimated that BYU doesn't have the resume. Coastal Carolina, who's got wins over, you know, Power 5 teams, they're 20th at 8-0. Marshall's 21st at 7-0. Auburn is 5-2. Oklahoma State's 5-2. They're both in. Liberty, you know, Liberty suffered their first loss to North Carolina State, so they're all the way out of all the polls, naturally. But, yeah, so the first rankings are out. They didn't make that much noise. I really thought, you know, it would be a big deal, but people sort of, whatever. That's the rankings. So that's what's part of what's going on in college football. Heisman watch, I don't know. I'm not sure how they come up with this. And this is just ESPN's Heisman watch. I haven't really looked at others. Mainly because I haven't seen enough of the guys play. Kyle Trask from Florida is their leader. He's having a good season, no two ways about that. Mac Jones from Alabama is number 2 for them. Here's the thing. Mac Jones isn't even the best player for Alabama. I mean, Najee Harris. Frankly, not just Najee Harris, but all their receivers and running backs are having great years. I don't know how they have Mac Jones in there. But see, number 3 is Zach Wilson from BYU. Number 4 is Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Yeah, number 5 is Justin Fields for Ohio State. Now, that's on the basis of one game against Indiana where he threw 3 picks. But you know what? They still won the game. Yeah, so your top 5 vote getters are all quarterbacks. I mean, really? Are they ever going to, you know? First of all, Breece Hall from Iowa State is looking good. Mohamed Ibrahim from Minnesota is having a good season at running back. They're both good running backs. They're having good seasons. You're not hearing anything about them. I don't know. I'm starting to get a little like, you know, okay, it's the quarterback of a top five team. That's what they're turning that into. That sucks. That's not how the Heisman was. It's the best player. Now, I know it's always been an offensive guy, and even when Charles Woodson won it as a defensive player, it's because he mainly played offense. I get that. I get that, folks. You don't have to go on a cake. But still, I mean, it's turning into a quarterback award. So that's pretty much it. Like I said, college basketball starting this week. It's great to see the Big Ten back in action. Great to see the Hawkeyes back in action. There's a lot of anticipation. Now, look, the Hawkeyes actually had two losses to end their Big Ten season last year, but they were still playing well, and you know, never got a chance to see what we could have done in the Big Ten tournament or the NCAA. It was a strong team. It did better than expected. Had some great wins. Yeah, T. Bodie says it best. For they're not from Alabama. That's why. But no, the Hawks looked good last year, and you know, anticipation for this year with Luka Garza coming back, and he did not disappoint. It's just good to see. I mean, it's good to have multiple sports back. Going to take a quick break. Then we're going to come back, and I'm going to do my little Thanksgiving rant. I got to do this. I've had to do this. Now, I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving, why I'm thankful, of course, but there's a lot going on here that's just beyond the pale. And it's just not quite – I mean, it's a pattern, and it's making sense to me, and it's part of why I'm talking about my tinfoil hat. But anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. Get your if you're drinking a cocktail, refill. If you're drinking iced coffee, refill that. If you're drinking soda, you shouldn't drink so much soda. It's not good for you. Drink water instead. But refill up, and I'll be back in about, let's call it 3 minutes. 3 minutes, yeah. Be back. We are back with thanks to the inimitable Jeff Beck. I'm sitting here doing that guitar solo at the end. I got to tell you, I admit it. This is Hank Jones, Polysports. I am Hank Jones, of course. If you want to call in and interact, 319-527-6706. If you want to call in at some point and say why you're thankful, I would really appreciate that, because I'm not doing a rant. This is Hank heard me say rant. It's not really a rant. It's just sort of a theory and some stuff about what's going on. This is a time to be thankful. But I'll tell you what. This is where I'm going with this. Okay. Thanksgiving, and it seems like they're telling us don't travel, don't gather, don't do this. Christmas music started awfully early this year, if you ask me. And people are saying, you know, almost like Thanksgiving doesn't exist. And there are even some, I was talking to my sister today on the phone, she even mentioned, you know, there are some people that say Thanksgiving is, you know, is only for white people. That's not. I don't get that. I mean, the first one was celebrated most likely with Europeans and Native Americans. But it's like, you know, anyway, okay, I'm going to quick talk about this one. Okay, when I talk about stuff on Yahoo, no, I don't regard Yahoo as anything excellent in any way, but it's the first email I got outside of a provider email, you know, it was web-based. I got it when I went on a mission trip. I was going to be overseas. And so I got it, and so I've had it forever. Okay? Anyway, 15 years, but Mrs. Hank here, we're in Electric Hankland Studios. She's actually in Hank Haven, which is the living quarters of Electric Hankland Studios. There's also an Acoustic Hankland, by the way. Acoustic Hankland is where I go when my wife is going to yell at me. Yeah, Turkey Making Area, which is Hank Haven. Okay, Turkey Making Area is Hank Haven. Anyway, this article said, disinvited from Thanksgiving, an etiquette expert shares how to deal. And it goes through, tells different stories of people that got, you know, canceled. I get that. Don't get me wrong. I get that. Some people do. Some people don't. Some people are worried. Some people aren't. I get it. But you're seeing things like limit gatherings to 10. You know, you've seen in California, 10 people, no more than 2 households can be invited. Must be outside, can go inside to go to the bathroom if the bathroom is clean after each use thoroughly. One person talks about when it comes to politics, our family is half one side, half the other. Said it was an easy conversation for half the family who believe in social distancing to cancel their favorite holiday, how the other side doesn't necessarily believe in it. Another person says, we actually disinvited everyone. We were going to host, but with a 16-year-old who contracted it, okay, get it. I get it. And my 70-year-old parents come. That's a no-brainer. But someone else said, you know, we've got Karens in our family who would be, really? Really? So they're telling you how to deal with being disinvited. Now, here it says, if you do choose to carry on in your in-person hosting duties but find yourself reconsidering an invitation, perhaps they're lax about COVID-19 restrictions, or you've decided you'd be more comfortable with a smaller group, says you shouldn't let guilt or awkwardness stop you from saying something. Ultimately, you've got to prioritize the group's health over an individual's social plans. Now, the left certainly is all about feelings. It's all about feelings. In this case, it's not about one person's feelings, possibly. You know? So, yeah, tell them, don't worry about their social. As a host, it's your responsibility to protect the safety of your guests. Okay, to a degree, it is. To a degree. But you know what? People, you're responsible for yourself. Even in someone else's home, you're responsible for yourself. It says, as much as you prepare transportation for a guest who's overserved, not overindulged, they say overserved. You'd do the same to ensure your holiday guests remain healthy after attending. Sure you would. Because retracting an invitation is very delicate. Be honest. Let them know that there are others with health concerns that cannot be exposed. Well, disinvite them. With that you look forward to hosting them on a future date. Now, again, I get this. There are times when there is a reason for it. It says there's never a need to apologize for the health or safety of your family. I'd also talk, if you're a guest whose invite has been pulled, it's understandable to feel let down. But it's important to remember that these are extraordinary circumstances and there's no reason to put pressure on a host acting out of caution and a sense of responsibility. The best way to handle not being included in this year's plan is with grace and understanding. Well, that's any plan. That's any plan. By the way, T. Bodie is thankful for the little things that are taken for granted as our first world problems, and mostly for our family's health and togetherness. Absolutely. Kudos. That says, you thank your host for making you aware of changes and let them know that you look forward to seeing them when things are a bit more normal. Do not make them feel guilty about their decision, especially due to a circumstance that's beyond their control. You know what? I'm not necessarily against all this, but why are we seeing an article about it? Here's some tweets that happened. One lady, my husband's family uninvited us to Thanksgiving in South Carolina, and I never imagined a day where being excluded was such a huge relief. Another one says, laughing, LMAO, laughing my ass off. My mom uninvited me from Thanksgiving via text. Ice cold. Another one, I just got uninvited to Thanksgiving, and while my parents are 97, I do respect the wishes, but a part of me just got really sad. Another one, my dad just uninvited me from a Thanksgiving get-together that I wasn't even planning to attend. The nerve. Okay, see, this is what I'm saying. Why are you taking to Twitter about this? People, why are you doing that? There are good reasons. Even within my own extended family, there are some circumstances, good reasons. But we don't need articles on it. We're grown-ups, remember? We are grown-ups. Here's one. Pulling out of the event might actually save your host from making a tough call. Due to Governor Cuomo's announcement last week that private gatherings are now limited to 10 people, my girlfriend and I made the decision to disinvite ourselves from Thanksgiving to make it easier for the host. Given that this Thanksgiving was going to include over 30 people, we figured the host would be in a pretty tough position deciding who could and couldn't still attend. The host ended up being incredibly grateful for our decision and thank us for making the process easier for her. Even though it would have been great to see everyone for Thanksgiving this year, it is important to put safety first. Okay, not a problem there. But again, here's how they close the article. Be considerate. No one wants to be the pandemic police. That's what this whole article was about. Here's my point. It's just more reinforcement of why we need to cancel Thanksgiving. That's what they're saying. Now, they talk about throughout this, there's one very important word in the article. That word is misinformation. Let me tell you about other misinformation we've seen through all this. Data dumps. Deaths attributed to COVID that weren't really caused by it. Extra incentives for health providers. That's part of the misinformation. The next big thing is limit, you know, the 10 people and all that. You know, that's really a personal thing. I have been in gatherings that had probably more than 10 people. You know, was it safe? I don't know. But it's my choice, Mrs. Hank's choice, our friend's choice. I will say, early on, when they first announced that they were going to lift some restrictions, we went to a public park and just sat with some friends, all social distance, figuring we'd be able to. There were thousands of people in that park already, people who weren't distancing, people who were hugging and sitting together on picnic blankets. We sat distant. I mean, we were being safe. I'm not bragging about it, but we just were. But it's like Mrs. Hank said, people are just tired of it. This is back in April, people, or May. Now they're saying, you know, limit if you must gather. Now here's the big article on crowded airports. Expect a surge after Thanksgiving. And then it's almost like, whatever you do, don't enjoy it. Limit it to 2 hours. Keep your mask on, except when you're eating or drinking. Set that time limit. And then here's the part. Hey, it's November 4th, the day after the election, so it must be Christmas. I'll tell you why. Okay, first, how closely will these people giving these orders actually obey them? Look, we know about Plastic Pelosi, Gruesome Newsom, Great Pumpkin Pritzker, and Kaiser Wilhelm de Blasio, and Comrade Cuomo. Do you think they're the only ones that do that? Not only have these people ignored orders or guidelines, but some have been so embarrassed when caught, they became vindictive. Remember Plastic Pelosi? She all but closed down that salon she went to. Cuomo went one better, though. He's writing a book about his masterful handling of the crisis. You heard me correctly. That incompetent, sanctimonious, revisionist killing machine is publishing a book. He's making money off it. This hacks me off probably more than those transgender book readers in Seattle that were getting paid to read to kids at the library while they were dressed up in miniskirts and spread their legs for dramatic effect. Oh, yeah, and as T. Bodie points out, don't forget to report your neighbors. Now, given all this, do you really think these egomaniacal, self-serving, greedy, narcissistic pigs are really going to sit home by themselves when they can gather their little elitists in training around the baby grand in the great room telling Uncle Chip and Cousin Trip how many bottles of Cristal they confiscated from the country club after their last elite fest under the guise of safety? I can hear Plastic Pelosi laughing her saggy ass off, telling her granddaughter, probably named Bixie, I told the bodyguard, we have to drink the bottle to see what's in the bottle. That's the kind of people we're talking about that are making these orders. Do you think they really feel and empathize with us regular folks? Do you actually believe they give a rat's you-know-what about tearing down a family's traditions or disrupting a family's chance to be together? Oh, do you really think these elitist people are leaving their precious little offspring and other future little demons at prep school or Ivy League? You know they're not. They expect us to do that. They expect the rest of us commoners to zombie out in front of a TV watching parades and dog shows, the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys, unfortunately, all while wearing face masks before eating quietly and settling down to Lifetime and Hallmark movies before we rev up the engines for our Black Friday shopping. We'll do all this while social distancing and masking up, of course, and being sure to report anyone who gets out of line. Here's the thing. There's actually a reason for all this. And here goes. Okay. We keep hearing Biden won, there was no fraud, and Trump is just a sore loser who wants to retain power. Yeah, we're supposed to believe that everything that happened between midnight and 4 a.m. on November 4th was normal, above board, and perfectly explainable. Well, this is something other people have not agreed with me, so I'll say this. This is my own. But you notice all the iHeartRadio stations started playing Christmas music on November 4th or thereabouts? And you notice, of course, this push not to gather at Thanksgiving. And you remember a couple weeks before the Pennsylvania Attorney General and Secretary of State saying Trump would appear to be leading on election night, but mail-in and other ballots would put Biden over the top. Notice a common theme in the Michigan and Pennsylvania and the other lawsuits that have been tossed? Disenfranchisement. They're using the word disenfranchisement. They're using that. They're even attempting to use it to justify the unilateral disregard for voting laws, abuse of deadlines, extensions, blanket mailings to people who have never been registered to vote, let alone the fact many aren't even eligible. As I said, my 8 and 14-year-old nephews in Pennsylvania. So where am I going with those? I'll tell you the reasons. Okay, number one, the prediction by those people in Pennsylvania. That sets the expectation. The expectation is that Biden has won. And the polls, of course, as well. Well, of course, he didn't win by as much, but he won, no doubt. And the vote count stoppage, that sets the stage for the vote manipulation. It's the only way they could. How else do you explain it? That sets the stage for it. Now, Christmas music serves three purposes. It gets people thinking December, that 2020 is almost behind us, and who really cares about Thanksgiving after such a terrible year? That's the one. It gets us out of the mindset that recounts and fraud investigations can be done thoroughly, because by God, we don't have time. We need a winner now. It creates the impression that unless we make the change, all these terrible injustices will continue. So why, quote, hashtag cancel Thanksgiving? This one's actually pretty simple. You got to bear with me, follow along. It is lengthy. Okay, in spite of the left acting as if COVID-19 is spread by Republicans who don't wear masks, conservatives are overwhelmingly more likely to actually observe and obey laws as a whole. Conservatives are much more likely to vote on law and order candidates. You know, we haven't seen any riots post-election. We haven't seen any demands for justice or equality or hashtag cancel. We've seen calls for voter fraud, but we have not seen people marching. We have not seen President Trump threatening Joe Biden. We haven't seen voters threatening Joe Biden or these poll workers. We did see people that marched in support of President Trump, and they were attacked by BLM and Antifa people. We've seen that, but we haven't seen conservative riots. We haven't seen conservative looting. Now, here's the other thing. Conservatives and or Trump supporters were overwhelmingly more Trump than they pro-Trump than they were anti-Biden. They can actually explain their vote and their reasoning behind it. And while some may not have wanted to explain it to pollsters or felt the need to be confrontational with Antifa or BLM quasi-terrorists, they sure as hell have no problem discussing politics at a family gathering. Mwah among those. Now, what's the mindset of the left, meanwhile? Well, I'll tell you. You know, this is nothing new. The end justifies the means. They use terrorist-like tactics to express displeasure. Destruction of property or even taking of life is not only legit, it's necessary. This includes going after anyone who doesn't share their thoughts, their views, and opinions. Things like calling for Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Destroying property and businesses is okay because to them, owning them is, in their twisted brains, immoral in the first place. Dealing harshly and cruelly with detractors is paramount. Only because they're not the ones doing the killing anyway. It's some thug, hired or not. It's not the elitists themselves that are doing it. Pelosi's never going to pull a trigger. But she's got bodyguards. Now, what scares the left more than anything? What terrifies them? Individual freedom. The concept of American greatness and the idea of individuals building wealth, success and self-sufficiency on their own without being beholden to government or central authority. As an example, the idea of the average American worker being able to earn a decent living, choose their own health care regimen, i.e. buying insurance, selecting a provider, making their own decisions, that's anathema to the authoritarian. The idea of a motivated and individual, inspired individual building a business and succeeding in their minds can't even be possible without that individual having to exploit other individuals. Why? Because they've always done that themselves. That's how they've lived their lives exploiting. But as individuals themselves, they don't have the guts and the nerve to deal with that. Their messed up minds, they do see a solution. Attack the individual entrepreneurs, foment discontent, an air of unfairness, go around saying that all employers are unfair, try to get unions in there to go on strike, push for higher and unaffordable wage increases across the country that hinder small business, require small business to do things like provide free insurance to employees. Hell, even requiring employers to provide vacation pay and sick leave and family leave and limit their ability to hire and fire when it's necessary to protect or enrich the business. Yeah, in the diseased and demented mind of the left, even the idea of individuals and businesses being charitable and giving is borderline no-no. Okay, so you say, what have they done in an effort to... I'll tell you what they've done, because remember, they can't really affect change if strong-willed individuals refuse to knuckle under. First, continually push and promote the idea that individual wealth, freedom, and making one's own destiny is wrong, immoral, evil. Second, use legislators, the courts, media, and most importantly, misinformation to turn people against each other. Create jealousy, envy, ill will, whatever, but do not let people unite if they don't agree with you. Next, do whatever it takes. Remember, the end justifies the means. Rioting, looting, destroying property, fixing elections, fraudulent votes, fraudulent voters, arbitrary, fraudulent manipulations of the system itself. And lastly, get after those God-fearing types. But how? Easy. Go to after the clergy. No, get lefties to join the clergy. Literally. From there, it's easy in their minds. Convince them. How do they do it? You know, a great portion of the religious left went that way when people convinced them that taxation was the equal of charity. And the other one they always use is threatening to pull tax-exempt status for churches. They probably blackmail some. I mean, some of them are vulnerable. We've seen it with Falwell Jr. and others Jimmy Swagger, people like that. They are, look, they're just like anyone else. They're vain, immoral, or whatever, greedy. So they go after those. They exploit them that way. Okay. So they've done all that. Why, quote, hashtag cancel Thanksgiving? Again, their biggest fear, one that terrifies the left more than anything, is a populace that's fed up. Populace that is sick and tired of the man, the system, and most of all, a populace that is acutely aware that government is not only not the solution, but in reality, it's the very root cause of the myriad problems they try and con people into believing they'll solve. Remember the movie, The Terminator, the series of movies and its sequels? There was one that basically it dooms society is the creation of AI, artificial intelligence, ostensibly protecting the country, and it becomes self-aware. When Skynet became self-aware, it saw mankind as the creator of the problems between nations, etc. That, in a sense, is what the left is afraid of. They're afraid of an educated, informed, and freedom-loving populace, or a healthy segment of it, that has become self-aware. And it's multi-level fear. They fear people who have a penchant for self-determination, people who will not submit to government control of their everyday lives, people who are keenly aware of the problems created by government far exceed the solutions it purports to offer. People who not only hold contempt for government, but the audacity to worship God and let God be the ruler and inspiration of and for their lives. The average twisted progressive leftist liberal is horrified by the idea that something they can't see, touch, or most importantly, control would supersede dependence on government. Thus, we hashtag cancel Thanksgiving. We use the safety approach. We scare people with the numbers. And if necessary, we don't let people gather. People, we have allowed ourselves to be cut off from each other, from our family, our friends, our neighbors. We have seen and heard of people not being able to visit hospitalized relatives, relatives in various assisted living facilities. We have not only seen sports seasons and games and championships canceled, we're now seeing teams manipulate the crisis to avoid playing better teams. I'm sorry, that's what's happening in some cases. The Ivy League, the very center of a leftist elitism, has already canceled all winter sports. But you know what? Numbers spike anyway. Even when folks wear masks, what the hell, just blame Trump. The mortality rate has dropped as much or more than the positivity rate. Oh, and guess what? FDA, CDC, others, they're allowing the drug regimen that President Trump was given as an emergency measure. In other words, they know it works, but God forbid it looked like anything other than special treatment when the president received it. So they're allowing it now. We hashtag cancel Thanksgiving, frankly, because we don't want people to gather and exchange ideas that government's the problem. We cancel Thanksgiving because the last thing we need is to give people and groups and like-minded individuals a chance to discuss, and especially to conclude, that the election may well have been fraudulent, that it was fraudulent. We hashtag cancel Thanksgiving because, by God, the more shut down we are, the less chance people will rise and unite to prevent this fraud from impeding the leftist dream of the Great Reset, time when America will be transformed from a land of freedom and opportunity to a land of exploitation and manipulation, a place to steal, sell, and destroy any and all of the resources to enrich the people who are hostile to our way of life. The hashtag cancel Thanksgiving because otherwise industry and commerce might otherwise continue to recover. So not only do we hashtag cancel Thanksgiving, we reinstitute shutdowns. Because then we can try and reel people back in with more stimulus checks. Then our buddies from China can finance it for us. And what we can't actually pay back to them, we just steal from our country itself. After all, to the left, it was so wrong to bring back jobs and impose tariffs. After all, LeBron, LeJuan James has all those contracts over there. And he hates Trump, so he'll be in their corner. Same with The Rock. He sells movies and merchandise over there. He'll back them. We manipulate Joe and Hunter because they're backed into a corner anyway. Easily manipulatable. How do we get the word out? Hell, man, tweet. Post on Facebook. Don't forget Instagram. New York Times and Washington Post? Well, they want to get them off their rear ends and let everyone know how crazy Trump is. And while we're at it, let's make sure to demonize anyone who even thought about standing up for him. or standing up to them. By God, get that Christmas music spinning, iHeartRadio. We got to let people know time's a-wasting. It is an absolute ploy to push the timetable. One movie I love, it's a Hallmark movie. I know. But no, it's a great movie. It's called November Christmas. Stars some great people. Sam Elliott, John Corbett, Karen Allen. I watch it every year, Mrs. Hank pointed out. It's a story of a guy whose daughter is sick, and he starts asking a local farmer, do they have pumpkins yet? He's asking him in August, and then he's asking him in September, can I start tagging a Christmas tree? And Sam Elliott gets it. He says he's pushing up the timetable. He's not sure if he's going to have a Halloween or a Thanksgiving. Well, in this case, or a Christmas. In this case, what they're doing, they're pushing up the timetable to make it urgent. We've got to have a winner now. Trump's just got to step up. That's what they're trying to do. Folks, it's not December yet. As the judge in Pennsylvania pointed out, Pennsylvania didn't even certify the election results in 2016 until December 12th. Now, look, this may go nowhere. But my point is, don't just give in. Like President Trump says, don't let them intimidate you. Now, here's a story I saw yesterday on Yahoo. Talks about airports everywhere are crowded. People are stacked on top of each other. Phoenix, Boston, San Francisco, even Des Moines. Mrs. Hank says, not at all. Well, this is yesterday for Thanksgiving. But complete, of course, with warnings from the CDC and a quote from Dr. Falsely. I know it's Fauci, but I call him Dr. Falsely. He was appearing on CBS, Frack the Nation. I would call it Face the Nation like it's supposed to be called, but it's Frack the Nation. It's anything they can do to split us up. It says people who are flying for the holiday are going to get us into even more trouble than we're in right now. Geez, Dr. Falsely, is this like the prison lifer that they tell you shouldn't do bad things? You know, the guy who's never, ever getting out? Ever? Tell you what, I'll tell you what this, I pretty much had it with Dr. Falsely anyway. Remember his statement to the media on February 29th, 2020, should be read into the record. He should be hanged if they're going to hang Trump. He said, literally, that Americans did not need to alter their behavior. This is after the president had instituted a travel ban. This is after the president was starting to give alerts. And he goes and says that. This is after Pelosi and those had been going to Chinatown and saying, the water's fine, come on in. He literally put the president in a no-win situation. By the way, here's some of that story. I'm going to omit the part where Dr. Falsely talks, because I won't dignify it. But here's some. Okay, basically, despite warnings from public health officials not to travel for Thanksgiving, plenty of people are doing just that. Reports are piling in from airports across the country that describe large crowds. While most travelers wear masks, some photos clearly show people without face coverings. Really? Video shared on Twitter from Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport shows a packed standing room only airport as people wait at their gates to board flights. Well, of course. When have you ever boarded a flight where the gate area isn't packed at boarding time? Anyone? Bueller? That people can be seen in San Francisco crowded together in seats with plenty of others standing by as they wait to fly out. Yeah, that's what they usually do. They gather in the boarding area. Mrs. Hank said every second chair was blocked off when she flew. In Des Moines, airport officials told the Register, Des Moines Register, that they expect a 50% increase in normal passenger traffic. Yeah, exactly. If all the center aisles are full, Or stopped or blocked, and here's another one. Travel may increase your chance of getting and spreading COVID-19. Postponing travel and staying home is the best way to protect yourself and others this year. You know what? That's always the best way to do anything. If you don't go outside and get in the car, you can't possibly get in a car accident. Impossible. Said CDC urged people to ask yourselves serious questions about whether you and your household is somewhat at risk. Is it worth the risk? Whether cases are increasing in your community and hospitals in your area are overwhelmed? Exactly. Mrs. Hank just said it best. You can be at risk opening your mailbox. Doctors say this could lead to super spreader events across the country. How many of these are we going to have? Now, remember we talked about the memes before. If the first lockdown worked, why is there a need for a second? And if the first lockdown didn't work, why are they doing it again? See, Thanksgiving is a push for people to travel. Most people who don't adhere to protocols will likely be in airports. Really? Really? We haven't heard of airport transmission, but now we will. Oh, really? That one I got to hear. I got to see the study on that one. Especially concerned that some people aren't wearing masks. Guess what? They're not doing it in Home Depot either. There are people in Walmart that aren't wearing masks. There are people in malls not wearing masks. One guy says they're obviously not taking the pandemic seriously. No, as we found out, there are people to whom wearing a mask is harmful. And there are people who understand that breathing in and out like that with a mask all the time for extended periods is harmful, can be harmful. Says it can't be blamed on lack of awareness at this point. Really? All you people have said is that President Trump was never aware of what was going on. And yet he was the one, before anyone else, who instituted a travel ban from China. People like, as my wife points out, people with medical conditions like autism and others. She said she should take over the show. Like I said, we're in acoustic Hank land. He says, clearly, one guy says, clearly there's enough kindling at the airport that if you have people not wearing masks and spacing out, a super spreader event can happen. It can start off chains of transmission that go all over the country. Really, folks, we've been hearing about this. So, you know, it's Thanksgiving. It's a time to be thankful. It's a time not to be worrying about travel and this and masks and that. Look, if you want to take precautions, absolutely. I would recommend it even. But man, all this hysteria, it's not meant to make us thankful. It's almost meant to say that Thanksgiving is bad, and it's not. Thanksgiving is a time to be thankful. It's a time to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. It's a time to watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Oh, by the way, and again, Yahoo pulled this up, that there's obviously something racist in the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, because during the dinner scene, Franklin, the only black person on the show, is sitting at a table by himself. I'll tell you why that is, folks. No, it's 1973. But I'll tell you what. Can we just watch a damn show or movie or commercial or sporting event or whatever without it being made something racial? Franklin's the only black character. We get it. He's sitting by himself. We get it. Guess what? As the article pointed out, it was 1973. Here's an idea. Since Charles M. Schulz passed away, you know, like 20 years ago, can we maybe not assail his character or his storyline? There's a real possibility. Number one, Schulz may have separated Franklin and Linus, who was sitting at the head, to show that they alone were at peace and thankful for the holiday. Remember Chuck and Patty and Marcy, and you know, they're all running around and they're Franklin and Linus, level heads. They're at peace. They're thankful. Or maybe Franklin just wasn't originally part of the story and Schulz added him in, and there was no way to add him into the storyboard. And you know what? He had zero intention of sitting with Peppermint Patty and Chuck and Marcy for that potential car crash. Saw the way that was going. Anybody want to be part of that Chuck, Patty, Marcy three-way? No, thank you. Maybe he had COVID, like Mrs. Hank pointed out. Maybe he was the original, you know. I mean, I guess we should be happy and thankful they still allow It's the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown, since they're all wearing white sheets and pillowcases while they're trick-or-treating. And the kids eating all that sugar. I'm surprised they haven't edited that out. Maybe it's the trick-or-treat haul that Chuck gets. He gets all those rocks. Maybe that's where the left learned to throw rocks at people. So, yeah, you know, let's get back to it. I'm thankful that we still have these specials. Seriously, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is an incredible movie. Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. I have a DVD where it's got those little extras. There's a scene where they insert the Peanuts kids on the Mayflower story. It's funny and it's cute. It's good. I'm happy for those things. I'm thankful that we can, you know, we can still gather, whether people tell us to or not, that we can still gather. You can have a glass of wine or a big turkey leg or fill your face with dressing or stuffing, whichever you want to call it. I'm thankful football came around. I'm thankful that we've got basketball back. Thankful in Pennsylvania that this judge has said no certifying the elections yet. Thanks to Lightweight for sending some links, by the way, in the chat room. Yeah, we heard about it. Some stuff that they sat on since like 2006 about election stuff that they allowed to happen. I'm thankful that, as John Glenn said in The Right Stuff, I'm thankful I still live in a country where the best in a man can be brought out. And we can choose our own destiny. It gets a little harder, but I'm thankful we still can. I'm thankful I have a wonderful wife and daughter. Daughter who's going to be getting married. We get to attend her wedding next year. I'm thankful for our little dog. This adorable little dog my wife is carrying. Smartest dog ever. Cutest dog ever. Most agile dog ever. T. Bodie asks about the Macy's Day Parade. Are they not letting people attend? Didn't you get your cutout? You can sponsor cutouts at those things, I think. I don't know if they're letting people attend. I assume not. I don't even know what's going on. I think it's on the thing. I don't know. But I'm thankful for that stuff. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for Vito and Al for letting me do this every Wednesday. I'm thankful for the other hosts who bring great stuff, help inspire some of the stuff that I bring. Thankful there are people that will listen. Thankful there are for people that agree and disagree. I'm thankful for those that can do it rationally. I'm thankful for my friends who provide friendship, entertainment, amusement, support, all that stuff. We should all be thankful for that stuff. If you know people that have reason not to be, we should reach out to them. That I'm thankful for, friends. So I'm going to leave you with a little Thanksgiving song. It's kind of cheesy, but I'm going to leave it for you anyway. Here we go.
Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. It stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Everybody now. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, oh how the wind does blow. She stings the toes and bites the nose as over the ground we go. Grandmother's cat I spy. Hooray for the fun, is the pudding done? Hooray for the pumpkin pie. Hooray for the fun, is the pudding done? Hooray for the pumpkin pie.
Hooray! Yes. Over the river and through the woods. That was originally a Thanksgiving song. You know what else? Jingle Bells was originally a Thanksgiving song. Yep. I didn't want to put Jingle Bells on here. That's Over the River and Through the Woods. It's a cute little song. Anyway, folks, as we approach this Thanksgiving, be thankful, share, commiserate, congregate, be thankful.
Wear a mask.
And wear a mask. What the heck? Wear a mask for a little while, just not when you're eating. Hey, y'all have a good night. Y'all have a safe, happy Thanksgiving. God bless you all. God bless America. And most of all, eat wisely, drink wisely, and do it copiously. And, of course, don't forget Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Watch that. Watch Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Good night, folks. Have a good one.